brother's going to be preaching on the Good Shepherd, and this is a wonderful passage that speaks about the Shepherd that is going to come, the Messiah, and it's a wonderful description of what we can look for in the Shepherd. So Ezekiel 34, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. 1 through 16. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, and strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Thank the Lord for the reading of this passage and the great shepherd that we'll hear about this evening as we see the coming of Jesus Christ, the true shepherd of his sheep.
I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. Will be our text this evening, particularly verse 11, John chapter 10, verse 11. We read in our scripture reading from Ezekiel 34, and so I want to begin by reading a portion of John chapter 10 to set the context. I'll begin by reading in verse 1 through verse 18. This is the word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Here's our text for this evening, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and ask for your grace and your favor upon the preaching of your word tonight. We pray and ask that your Spirit would open our eyes to behold wondrous things of your law. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted above all, that the word of God would grip our hearts and open our hearts, and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Savior. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the question I have for you as we think of this text, what would happen if a sheep was without a shepherd? It's a pretty simple question. What would happen if a sheep was without his shepherd? Well, you may say that the sheep would get lost. Maybe the sheep would wander away. Maybe it would be defenseless against the wolves in the wilderness. It wouldn't be able to provide for itself, because as we look at a sheep, we see that they're utterly dependent upon the shepherd. There's this unity between the shepherd and his sheep, that the shepherd is the one who provides for the sheep. And if the sheep is without a shepherd, then it's hopeless. We see in Isaiah 53 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Later in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the crowds of the people, and it says he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And so as we look at this text, we see that without our good shepherd — you're a Christian here today — without your good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're absolutely hopeless. You and I are utterly dependent upon our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, we see that the purpose behind this book is one thing. John chapter 20 says, "These things were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." That's the reason, that's the purpose behind the Gospel of John. To show the glorious Savior, to show that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That's the purpose of the Gospel of John, to showcase the glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And so we see that eternal life is to know God. It's to know Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has come to reveal the Father to us. And so the Gospel of John, it's a unique gospel. We see that there are several different I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you are familiar with them. I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to God except through me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. In our text, in verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. So we think of that statement, I am the good shepherd, that grips our hearts, that brings affection to our hearts, the idea that God is the good shepherd of our soul. And we see that there are many passages in Scripture of God being our shepherd. The Old Testament's full of them. Psalm 23, many of you know that. The Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 40, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. Ezekiel 34, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. It was said by C.H. Spurgeon that, oh, what a sweet music there is to us in the name which is given to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. We see that God in the Old Testament is the shepherd of his people. We come to the New Testament, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of his people. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who is brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will. Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. So the New Testament paints this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But now in our text, we get to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He displays who he is, his person and work. We zoom in and see what he has to say to us today. And he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ displays himself to us today in this text, that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So as we think of that, there's two main headings I want us to look at. The claim that the Lord Jesus Christ is making, that I am the good shepherd, that's the claim. And then I want us to look at the evidence of that claim. What makes him the good shepherd? Well, we see, and we will see, that it's because he lays his life down for the sheep. And so first, the claim that he makes. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The context of this is that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of false shepherds. There's the religious leaders and the Pharisees who are the false shepherds of Israel. If you look back in chapter 9 with me, we get the context of this. In verse 6 to 9, we see that Jesus heals a blind man. Look with me in verse 6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went, washed, and came back seeing. That's the context. The Lord Jesus Christ heals this blind man. This blind man receives his sight. But then I want you to note what the religious leaders say. Look with me in verse 16 of chapter 9. Some of the Pharisees said that this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And so the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they're bringing these charges against the Lord Jesus Christ. He healed a blind man, and they're saying, this man's not from God. This man breaks the Sabbath. How can a sinner do these signs? I want you to note in verse 35 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's aware of this. The Pharisees, they cast this blind man out of the synagogue. They don't want to have anything to do with him. The Lord Jesus said he heard that they had casted him out. In verse 35, having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The blind man answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he reveals his divinity before this blind man. But the religious leaders, they're not having it. they're not supportive of what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in his ministry. And now we get into our text in chapter 10. We realize that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of these thieves and robbers who destroy the sheep. It's the Pharisees, it's the religious leaders that the Lord Jesus Christ is narrowing down at. He's calling them out, that these Pharisees, these religious leaders who are denying the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the thieves and robbers who are leading these people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's similar to Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel prophesied against the false shepherds of Israel. We read that in our scripture reading. Ezekiel 34 verse 4, I want you to listen to this. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you ruled them. And so it's in this context that the Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilling what Ezekiel has prophesied. The thieves, the robbers, they're ultimately leading these people astray. And it's in this context where the Lord Jesus Christ stands before the false shepherds of Israel. And he says, I am the good shepherd. Ezekiel prophesied of God coming to seek his sheep, that God will be the shepherd of his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands before this crowd and reveals his divinity, that he is the good shepherd, that there's none like him, that it is God who has come to seek and save the lost. That's the context behind this passage. The question is, and what I want to focus on tonight is, what's the relationship between the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sheep? What does this relationship look like between you and your good shepherd? Well, there's three things. First, I want you to note that the good shepherd has possession over his sheep. He owns you. The shepherd owns his sheep. They're his sheep. They're his possession. Every sheep belongs to the shepherd. Look in chapter 10, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep are Christ's. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows their name. He knows your name. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. We have that word again, his own sheep. Verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And so as we look at this text, we get this picture that the good shepherd, he has possession over his sheep. He owns them. Those are his sheep. That there's this intimate, deep relationship with the good shepherd and his sheep. It's not some distant relationship. It's not some distant between the shepherd and the sheep. But there's this deep intimacy, this deep love for the shepherd and his sheep. Just as the Father knows me, the Lord Jesus Christ says, so I know them. That there's this deep love that the good shepherd, he knows all the difficulties of his sheep. He knows the ones that are prone to illness. He knows the ones that are weak, and he knows the ones that wander off at times. He knows your difficulties. He knows the trials that you go through as a Christian. He knows everything about you. He has this deep love for you. He knows everything you're going through. He knows what you'll go through this week. He knows the trials you'll face next month. He knows absolutely everything about you, because he has a great love for you. You're his sheep. He has possession over you. He owns you. He cherishes you. You're his treasure. And so the application for this point is that every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is his possession. You're possessed by God. He owns you. He has this deep love and affection for you, like a shepherd loves his sheep. C.H. Spurgeon says that the sheep are in his hand. You're in the hand of God. That is, in his possession, Spurgeon says. He grasps them as a man holds a thing and says, it's mine. No one can take them from him. No one can take them away from his protection. Abraham Kuyper says that there's not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." And so we see here that the love of Christ for his sheep, it's an unchangeable love. It doesn't vary. It's fixed. It's precise. There's this eternal love that just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's the love of Christ for you. That's the love of Christ for his sheep, that there's this intimate, this eternal, this perfect love between the Father and his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I mean, think about that, brothers and sisters. Think of that love for the good shepherd's love for you. That there's this eternal, perfect love between the Father and the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, that is my love for you. And that changes everything. That changes how we live our day-to-day life. That changes how we see ourselves in light of Christ and the gospel. That you're loved by God. That there's this eternal, unchanging love that you may wander from day to day. You may fall into sin from time to time. But his love for you doesn't change. It doesn't waver. The Lord Jesus Christ looks upon you, his sheep, and says, "You're the one whom I love from all eternity." I mean, think of that. He tells us that he's come to save you, to seek after you, that you may have life. That he's bought you with his blood. You're his possession, brothers and sisters. "I am the good shepherd," the Lord Jesus Christ says. We see first that he has possession over his sheep. Secondly, the good shepherd protects his sheep. Look with me in verse 12 of chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." A hired shepherd, one who's paid for his job, he's going to do his job pretty well until there's danger at the scene. The hired hand, he's doing a fine job until the wolf comes and he sees that he may be in danger. And so what does he do? Well, he flees because, I mean, he's just there to get paid at the end of the day. He doesn't really own the sheep. He's there to get the job done and pay the bills. And so the hired hand, he leaves the sheep. And what happens, the Lord Jesus Christ says? The wolf comes. The wolf comes and he snatches the sheep. But that's not like our good shepherd. We see the opposite, that the good shepherd, he owns the sheep. He possesses the sheep. He'll protect the sheep. He takes care of his sheep. He remembers them day to day. He remembers them night by night. Turn with me to Psalm 23. In this psalm, it's a familiar text. We see the care of the shepherd for his sheep. Psalm 23. We see the grand statement, Psalm of David. Here's the opening, the grand statement. "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the statement. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He shepherds his people. What's the consequence of that? Well, look with me in the text. "The Lord is my shepherd. As a result of that, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so we get this picture of the good shepherd caring for his sheep. That there's this deep intimacy for his sheep, that he makes them lie down. He leads them. He restores their soul. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it may feel like you're walking through the valley of death this week, but it's just a shadow. "The good shepherd walks with his sheep through this shadow. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the good shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. He feeds them. He leads them beside still waters. He takes care of them. He protects them. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. We'll look at verses 2 to 5 first. Ezekiel 34. It says, "Thus says the Lord God, Ah, the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherd feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back." That's the false shepherds of Israel. They're doing the opposite of the good shepherd. They're not protecting their sheep. They're letting them go astray. They're feeding themselves. And as a result, their sheep are scattered and they're in great danger. But what we see in this text is that God himself, he'll come, he'll save his sheep. He'll seek out his sheep. Look with me in verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's amongst his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered." Get the picture of the good shepherd again. He's the opposite of the false shepherds. God himself says he'll seek out the sheep. The false shepherds, they're not doing their job. They're letting the sheep go astray and they're in great danger. But the good shepherd, he says, "Behold, I will search for them. I'll search for my sheep and I'll seek them out." Now look with me in verse 23. Ezekiel says, "And I myself will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince amongst them. I am the Lord, I've spoken." So you look at that and you say, well, isn't it God that's supposed to seek out his sheep? But now he's saying that he'll place his servant David over the sheep to shepherd them. Oh well, if you know your Bibles, that there's a greater shepherd. There's a greater David through the line of David who will be the shepherd king of Israel, of the people of God. And so as we look at this text, it's a foretaste of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the ultimate fulfillment, that this text is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands before the people and he says, "I am Yahweh, I am God, I am this greater servant David who's come to seek and to save his sheep." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the ultimate shepherd. He's the one who comes to seek to save his sheep. He guards his sheep. He protects them. He binds up their wounds. He seeks them out. The false shepherds, they never cared for the sheep. They never properly communicated God's care for them. They didn't point the sheep towards Christ. Rather than that, they pointed them away from God. And so we see here the necessity and the great danger to continue in life without a shepherd. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, the Bible says that you're in great danger, that there's no one to protect you on the day of judgment. And if you do not have Christ as your great shepherd, and you're in great danger, that there's no one to watch over your soul. We see that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely everything to his sheep. Whatever trial we face as Christians, as the sheep of his pasture, we run to him. We run to our good shepherd, and he'll protect us. He'll care for us. And so we've seen that the Lord Jesus Christ, he possesses his sheep. He owns you. He loves you with an eternal love. He protects his sheep. He guards you. He seeks after you. And finally, this good shepherd, he perfects his sheep. He doesn't just save his sheep. He doesn't just guard his sheep, but he perfects them to glory. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd," that he's the only one in his class. That he doesn't just do what the hired hand does. He doesn't just do the job and then sit back, but the Lord Jesus Christ does absolutely everything perfectly. There's no defect in his person and being. That he's perfect in all of his attributes. That he's perfectly majestic. He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly wrathful against sin. He's righteous. He's just. He's patient. He's kind. He's gracious. He's loving. He's merciful. He's faithful. Absolutely everything the Lord Jesus Christ does, He does it perfectly. That's the Good Shepherd. Look back with me in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 26. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." The Lord Jesus Christ never loses his sheep. He doesn't just save his sheep and then lose track of his sheep. But the text says that he never fails to save one of his sheep. All of his sheep will come to glory with him. He doesn't lose them. He doesn't fail to bring them to glory. That no one is able to snatch the sheep out of the Good Shepherd's hand. And so the fact is that if you are in Christ, if you are the sheep of his pasture, then you are eternally secure in Christ. But there's nothing that can change that. You're united to the Good Shepherd, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. He's the Good Shepherd who perfects his sheep. He brings you to glory. It may not feel like that this week. Maybe you're struggling with some sin, and you walk forward, and then you fall back two steps, and it feels like you're in a losing battle, but the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that no one can snatch you out of his hand. That you're secured in Christ. That all that the Father has will come to him, and no one will be taken out. All will be brought to glory. You may say, well, how can I be assured of that? How can I know that I'm secured in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, D.A. Carson gives this example of our assurance before God. He gives an example of two Jewish men. It's the day of the Passover, and they are talking together, two families. The one man says, Do you really believe that God's promise to pass over our household if we put the blood on the doorpost?" The other man, he has a stronger faith, and what he says is, "Of course. I mean, God's promised in his word that if we paint the blood over the doorpost, then we'll be fine. He's promised it, and so therefore he'll do it." Well, the other man with the weaker faith says, "Well, I know it's in his word and I believe it, but death is scary. I love my one son. What if the angel of death took my son?" The other man of strong faith says, "Well, believe the promises of God. He says it and he'll fulfill it." And the other man, he's weaker in his faith. And so Carson, he asks the question, "Well, the night of the Passover comes and the angel of death is sweeping through the land, and which man is saved? Which family is saved from the angel of death?" Well, the answer is that both men are saved. Why? Because both had the blood of the Lamb painted over the doorpost. And so Carson goes on to add that it's not the intensity of one's faith that saves you. Your assurance before God as a Christian is not in the intensity of your faith. It doesn't mean that because I have a stronger faith than the other that I'm more secured in Christ. That's not the assurance of your faith before God. Your assurance as a Christian is in the object of your faith. That your grounds of assurance before God is in the blood of the Lamb. That is our argument before God. "I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus came and he died for me." And so our assurance before God is not in the intensity of your faith that you possess, but in the object of your faith, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life as a ransom, that he laid down his life for his sheep, that he bled and died, and that he rose from the grave victoriously. Your grounds of assurance is in Christ, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd perfects his sheep. The Apostle Paul says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." It's a promise. That he who began that good work of salvation in you as a Christian, he'll bring it to completion. It's guaranteed at the day of Christ Jesus. The fact is that if we could earn our salvation, then we would have lost it the second after we believed. our assurance before God is in the work of God. It's His work in us to will and to do. And so what we see here is that the Good Shepherd, He perfects His sheep. He carries you and I to glory. It's His work in us. The Good Shepherd, I am the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ says. He possesses His sheep. He protects His sheep. He perfects His sheep. And so that's our relationship to our shepherd. It's threefold. We saw that in the text. That He owns you. He has this deep love for you. He protects you. He's walking you through the trials and this pilgrimage as a Christian. And He'll lead you to glory. He'll perfect that good work in you. That's our relationship as Christians to the Good Shepherd. The next question, the final question I have is, well, what evidence is there of this Good Shepherd? What makes Jesus the Good Shepherd? Where can I root myself in the text and know that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd? Where's my assurance before God? Well, we look back in chapter 10, verse 11. We saw the claim. Jesus Christ says, I am the Good Shepherd. And now we see the evidence. What makes Him the Good Shepherd? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ the Good Shepherd? Well, the Lord Jesus says, the Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And so that's our grounds of assurance to know of why the Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. It's because He laid down His life for the sheep. He laid down His life for you. And so we see here in the text that it was a voluntary death. It was out of His own free will. The text says He lays down His life for the sheep. It wasn't taken from Him. It wasn't just put on the cross because the Romans took His life from Him. It was out of His will. The text says the Good Shepherd, He lays down His life. It's voluntary. That's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was voluntary. It was willing. He gave Himself for the sheep. He voluntarily died in their place. Would an ordinary shepherd do that? Well, no. A shepherd, if he had a pasture of 1,000 sheep, and he saw one sheep in danger, he wouldn't go to that dark place. Because if he got injured, then the rest of the 999 sheep would be put in danger. The ordinary shepherd, the average shepherd, the hired hand, he wouldn't do that. But what does the Good Shepherd do for that one lost sheep? He lays down His life. He willingly gives His life so that His sheep might gain life. And so we see here in the text that it was a willing death. It was a voluntary death. Look with me in verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. And so He lays it down in order to take it up. He says, no one takes it from me. It wasn't the Romans who took it from Him. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. He willingly gave His life. No one took it from Him. He laid down His life in order to take it up again. He had authority to lay it down. He has authority to take it up. It's a voluntary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was out of His own free will. It was out of His own free grace. It was out of His own free mercy. The sinless Savior, He saw His sheep. He saw you before you were a Christian, wallowing away in your sin. The Bible says that you were a slave to sin, unable to help yourself. You were that sheep that was dead in the field. A child of wrath under the judgment of God. And it was out of God's infinite mercy, His infinite grace, that the Good Shepherd willingly gave His life for the sheep. He willingly came to earth. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. He gave His life up willingly so that He may take it up again. On the third day He rose from the grave victoriously, so that one day you and I will be raised in glory. It was a voluntary death, and it's because of that voluntary death that that we live as Christians. He is the good shepherd because he dies willingly. He gives his life up willingly for his sheep to bring us back to our God. But secondly, we see that it's a substitutionary death. Not only did he willingly give his life, but he gave his life in order of the sheep, in their place. Look with me again in the text. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Who does he lay it down for? Does he lay it down for the goats? Does it say that in the text? No. The Lord Jesus Christ says he laid down his life for the sheep. He gave his life in the place of a sheep. And he was a substitute. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ died a substitutionary death for his sheep. You may say, well, what does a substitute do? Well, very simply, a substitute stands in the place of another. Well, in order to understand that, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great substitute for sinners. He is the great substitute for his sheep. But we can only truly understand that when we see the character of God and the depravity of man. You see, the Bible paints this picture of God being a holy God. He can have absolutely nothing to do with sin. He's perfect in all of his ways and all of his attributes, that his eyes are too pure to look upon evil. He's infinitely righteous. He's infinitely just. He must punish every single sin. That's the character of God, this holy God, this majestic God, separate from sin. And then we look at what the Bible has to say about man. Born into sin, a slave to sin, dead to sin, dead in sin, slaves to sin, hopeless. You look at that and you see the character of God and you see man. And you say, well, how does a sinful man, how does a sinful woman, how does a sinner like myself get right with this perfect God who can have nothing to do with sin and can have no sin in his presence? How does that happen? That's the big question of the Bible. How can a sinful man get right with a holy God? The answer is in the cross of Jesus Christ, where the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep in their place. The good shepherd lived a life that his sheep could not live. He lived a life that you and I could not live. He was sinless in all of his ways. He loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his strength, and he willingly came to the cross with his sheep in mind. Steve Lawson says this. I want you to listen to this. It's sobering, it's weighty. Only those who are suffering the torment in hell can even begin to comprehend the wrath that Jesus absorbed upon the cross as he died in our place. Only those in hell right now can truly understand what Christ has done for sinners under the wrath of God for their sin in their place. We can't even fathom it. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and he stood in the place of his sheep. And he bore their wrath and their judgment for their sin, past, present, and future, in full upon the cross. He stood in their place. He gave up his life. And what did he say? He said, it's finished. Now on the third day, he rose from the dead. Death was defeated. The wrath of God was satisfied. The mission of the good shepherd to save his sheep was complete. And so we see that by his death, his voluntary death, his substitutionary death, the life of the sheep, your life, your eternal glory was secured by the good shepherd who dies for his sheep. Think of that, brothers and sisters. He died for his sheep. He died for you. He didn't go to the cross and just think, well, I'm going to the cross and I hope some people will believe in me. I hope some will choose me. But he died for a particular people. He died for his sheep in their place. And so he saw you before his eyes upon the cross. And he was absolutely aware of every sin that you've committed in the past, in the present, and the sin you'll commit in the future before you're in glory. He was aware of absolutely everything about you, his sheep, as he went to the cross. And he died in your place. The Apostle Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, he so loved you that he gave himself for you. He died for you. He is the good shepherd. He owns you. He protects you. He perfects you. What makes him so good? Why is he the good shepherd? Well, the assurance of that is in his death, that he willingly died in the place of the sheep. And so our song as Christians, nothing in my hands I bring. Nothing. You don't bring anything to the cross. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's the testimony of the sheep, that it's nothing we've done, but it's all of what Christ has done, the good shepherd who sought us when we were a stranger in that far country, who died for us. And so the implication of that, the implication of this text, is to remember that you and I, we're merely sheep in the pasture of our chief shepherd. That sheep, we're prone to wander. The hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to wander at times. We're prone to get injured at times. We're prone to get in trouble at times. We need to remember that we're the sheep in the pasture of our good shepherd. That we're utterly dependent upon this good shepherd to guide us, to protect us, to bring us to glory. And we have to remember that there's two voices in the world. There's the voice of the good shepherd in his word, calling out to you day by day in his word. But there's also the voice of the false shepherd. The voice of the world, the voice of the enemy, calling out to you with all these different distractions and the various enticements in this world. And so we need to remind ourselves that day by day we need to hear the voice of our good shepherd. That we must continually tune our ears to his voice, to become familiar with him. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Are you growing in your intimacy with the good shepherd, Christian? Are you becoming more familiar with his voice? Are you running to the good shepherd in your troubles, in your trials? Are you running to him for refuge, for protection, for comfort, to lead you beside still waters, to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death? Are you training yourself to hear his voice, to know his voice amongst the many voices crying out to you today? Are you pointing your families? Are you pointing your loved ones? Are you pointing your children, your co-workers, your neighbors to this good shepherd who came to save sinners? Are you telling them of what he's come to do, to seek and save the lost? That's our responsibility as Christians, to shepherd our families, to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make our families become more familiar with the good shepherd's voice. And so we must dive deep into his word, to become familiar with it, to preach this gospel to ourselves day by day, to tell us of what Christ has done, that our assurance before God isn't how intense our faith is or how strong our spiritual roller coasters are, but it's rooted in the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continually come back to his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Spurgeon says that God sees that we're a weak flock. He knows we're weak. He knows that we're a silly flock, a wandering flock. Then Spurgeon says, therefore, he is our strength. There is his wisdom and his righteousness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. That's our glorious shepherd as Christians, that he's the good shepherd. He's the one who protects you, possesses you, owns you, treasures you, leads you to glory. But maybe he's not your shepherd today. Maybe you've never come to the good shepherd and asked him to save you from your sins. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the good shepherd, and maybe you're in the far country away from him. Well, tonight you've heard of the shepherd, the good shepherd. Tonight you've heard of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today you've seen the utter helplessness you are in apart from the shepherd. Now, there's nothing in yourself that can save yourself. One day you'll stand before God and it'll just be you and God, and you'll give an account for your entire life, past, present, future. The Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrifying thing to have no shepherd. It's a terrifying thing to not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We've seen the bondage of sin, that the sinners are enemies of God, that the consequence is eternal hell in a lake of fire. It's serious stuff, but you've seen much of sin, but you've also seen much of grace. You've seen much of the mercy of God, and the glorious thing is that the good shepherd has you here tonight to hear his voice, to hear what he's done for sinners, that he is a willing savior, that he's a loving savior, that he's a savior who has come into the world to bring life to man. I mean, this is the good shepherd. He's the savior that we need. If we hear his voice, the call, the command is to repent of our sin, to trust in Jesus Christ alone, to come to him. The glorious thing is that he's a willing shepherd. He has his arms wide open today. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. He's a willing Savior. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day the gospel is open to you. And so the call, the command for you is to turn from your sin and make it the first day to trust the Good Shepherd. To know he will lead you. If you turn from your sin and trust in him, he'll lead you to glory. He'll grow you in the grace and knowledge of God. He'll bring you to everlasting joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, into this world and to die for sinners. We thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We pray, Lord, that as we come through this week, that we will trust our good shepherd, that we will continue to hear his voice and follow him, Lord. We also pray that you would grant salvation for those who do not know you here tonight. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our hymn, our